Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Mark, let's try again. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. What's up? Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
To work real fast. Hey, guys. Hey, listen. Besides my many frustrations with the Yankees, it was in the beginning, everything was going good. We're kind of back to where we were last year. But one thing I need to say, the Volpe project is over. He's making errors. He's caught stealing. I think he's on year four now, or year three. I think it's four.
Three, right?
Three. Is it three or four? It's not happening.
Yeah.
He's batting .235. I mean, it's Volpe is, I hate to say it, I love him as a kid. He's a bust. And he's a bust. And he frustrates me every time he's in a big spot. He strikes out, hits it to double play. He's okay defensively. He's not as good as advertised. Like, you know how you have a guy that's great defensively but can hit, or he's not good defensively but can hit. He's mediocre all around now, and he's a big problem on this team for me.
Yeah, he's here for his third year. This is his third year right now. He's in the middle of it, and I would think, you know, at the age of 24 that they're going to give him, you know, I don't think they'll give him next year. I think they'll give him this year to see whether or not he can figure it out, because there's no replacement at the moment.
No, there isn't. That was going to be the question I was going to ask the caller, is, you know, who would be next in your mind if your project is over? And by the way, Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees, along with Aaron Boone, give these guys a long time to figure it out. Go see Gary Sanchez. So if you think that Anthony Volpe is going to get pulled at any time this season, he would have to either get hurt or be so bad that he would no longer be the starting shortstop. So, I don't know. We'll see at the end of this year, but my guess is that when it comes to some of these guys that they have under control, where you don't have to pay them big dollars and they're, you know, you have the arbitration years and all of those things, they're going to give those players every opportunity and maybe too many opportunities to figure it out before they cut them loose. And that's really the best example I could give. I mean, there was so many guys that they even like Joey Gallo, when they had him, they brought him back the next year. I was like, why are you doing that? There's just certain like things where either trades or homegrown guys or whatever it may be, where Brian Cashman keeps pushing, like, it'll work, almost to like a stubbornness. And maybe he does that with Volpe, or maybe he decides that he's just not the guy. But last night was this is what we're going to get today. And it's unfortunate, because this is everything that he ever dreamed of. He is. And has that opportunity. And right now it's going as bad as it's ever gone for him. And that's got to be a tough thing to climb out of.
And that was after what I would consider was a really solid start to the season.
He
was hitting home runs just like everybody else was.
Mm-hmm.
And now the entire team is basically flat.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that was, Volpe can get going, man. I tell you, you know, you lose Juan Soto, but you're able to get Goldschmidt and Bellinger, and man, if Volpe can give you more offensively in year three and torpedo bat, and it was hitting the ball closer to the knob, and now you got the torpedo bat, he's going to be hitting more home runs. No, didn't work out that way.
Between he and Dominguez and some of the mistakes that they have made, I could chalk it up to youth, I guess.
Well,
and It was interesting. So I was watching this last night. You know, Aaron Judge makes a catch in the outfield. And he signals two to the center fielder, two to the first baseman, to the second baseman. And the reason that they do that, and somebody was asking me, why do they always, you know, tell you how many outs there are between players? Well, that's so nobody is not thinking, you know, how many outs there are.
Right.
Or how many strikes there are. Or where they are in the game and what is needed from them. And, you know, base running mistakes, fielding mistakes, mistakes not knowing how many outs there are, how many strikes there are, you know, that goes right back to the manager making sure that, you know, he's pressing the right buttons to keep the pressure on the player. And again, I'm going to go back one more time to Aaron Glenn and the Jets. Quiet, right? We're mm-hmm. not hearing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a competitive now arena over there in Florham Park, meaning that every player is going to have to fight for their position. Because that's how he is going to break the culture that the Jets had turned into. And that this was going to be some high-flying offense because we brought in a Hall of Fame quarterback. No, no, no. We're getting back to the roots of the way that we need to build a football team. And I would just say sometimes this is why maybe Joe Girardi got fired after 10 years. You know, managers or coaches who end up lasting a long time sometimes don't even see it themselves when they are being taken advantage of or don't realize that, you know, players are not paying attention just simply because it's too easy every day. And you can't make it easy every day. You just can't. And that's hard. And by the way, I'm not saying it's easy to do that. And I'm not saying that it's easy to sit a player down and get in his grill and say, listen, this is unacceptable. But there are times where you send a guy down, like a Francisco Alvarez in this case, you got to send him down.
Yeah, I mean, he's just completely off. And unfortunately for him, he's never really looked comfortable at the plate for an extended period of time.
That's Alvarez.
Yeah, that's Alvarez, yeah.
But so, both he and Volpe swing for the fences every time.
Let's go to Matt in Florida. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
All right, Matty. What's happening?
You know, I just want to make a point with that last caller. You know, the thing is with these prospects, and the Yankees have done this, and Boomer, you mentioned it with Sanchez, they overhype the crap out of them. You know, we were sold the Volpe, with Volpe. I remember when Luis Castillo got traded from the Reds to the Mariners, and the Yankees were in the mix. When was that, a few years ago,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Volpe was the player that they wanted. They wanted Volpe. If Volpe was in the deal, they were going to make the trade. And the Yankees came out, and it was Cashman that said, no, we're not trading him. He's untouchable. And then, you know, they get called up, and as a fan, our expectations are they're the second coming. You know, this guy is going to be all world. And it's not the case. Listen, does he have hiccups? Yes. Is he not Bobby Witt Jr.? Yes, but he's decent. He's okay. He's still young. And I have to tell you, I don't know if you guys pay attention, they're doing the same thing with this guy, George Lombardi Jr. If you look at the social media posts on him, they're taking pictures behind him. He's wearing number two. They're already comparing him to Derek Jeter. Hmm. That's the problem. They need to stop doing this and just let these guys be who they are. And then
Matt, when you say they need to stop doing this, who is they?
The organization, the Yankees. They need to.
But are they? So the only thing I can blame the Yankees on is, and I don't even know if it's blaming them, is when these trades come up and they say, no, a guy is untouchable, then all of a sudden you're expecting this guy to be your shortstop for 15 years. That's the only thing I can blame him on. Some of the social media post stuff, is that coming from the organization or is that coming from, you know,
Baseball America or somebody else?
Yeah.
But this is the thing. But even if you look at some of the posts about George, the young shortstop, right? We already heard about him in spring training. He's already young. Whatever. I think he's in Double A right now. I think he's in Double A. But that farm system, their Twitter account or X account rather, is posting pictures and like images and clips of him, comparing him to Derek Jeter. Like he had an overhand throw the other night. It was a great play. I saw it, but I'm like, why are we doing this? Why?
Well, because they want people to come to those games, Matt. I mean, I can't. I mean, it's up to you as the fan to not get excited about it.
Well,
not you can't tell somebody to not put out content, you know, and then tell you how to handle it.
You know, when you have a player that's struggling at a particular position and you got a winning team, which the Yankees do have, and you start getting closer and closer to the trade deadline, all of a sudden now all the baseball writers start writing down who are the top players in each team's minor league system. And they're all ranked, you know. So at one point in time, I'm assuming that Anthony Volpe was like the number one or number two player that was ranked by some outside service that ranks all these players. And that's probably why Brian Cashman said he was untouchable. I mean, like, well, and he gave you an honest answer. Like, this is going to be our shortstop of the future. We believe in this kid. I still believe that they still believe in him. He's 24 years old.
Yeah, I mean, and they're going to give him more opportunities because they really don't have any other options at this point. But it's really up to us as fans to digest the content a certain way. So then now, because a lot of these guys don't pan out, and you should know that most of these prospects don't pan out and don't become superstars, that you have to not get ahead of yourself.
You know, for me, you know, just being around, like, the last prospect that really had a lot of juice behind him was Aaron Judge, because of his size, because of his age, and because he was mashing the ball in the minors.
But also, it wasn't like at that time. Now, if I remember correctly, and I wish C-Mac was around, but maybe C-Low will remember this. But at the time, yes, because he was so big. But don't forget, it was those baby Yankees with Greg Bird and Gary Sanchez as well, like the three of them that were coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't Judge alone. And then Judge became so much better than those guys. And remember, Sanchez was up the previous year before and was unbelievable.
Right, the second half of the season is where he really started to get Yankee fans excited, because it was the only reason to watch the Yankees was because of what he was doing, because they were out of the playoffs that year.
And also, even though it wasn't a homegrown player, but it was in the Chapman trade back in, I guess, 16, was Gleyber Torres. You know, and he was another one who got off to a great start. So
they also had Didi Gregorius.
Yeah, right, to replace Jeter initially, yes.
Right.
But, I mean, the hyping, and even so much, I'll never forget, like, when Pete Alonso was putting up these big numbers in AAA, and Ed Coleman was on, and he was talking, and people were asking about him, like, oh, haven't we heard more about this guy? And I think it took a long time for people to notice. Like, back in single A, double A, no one's paying attention to Pete Alonso. And then finally gets up to triple A, he's still mashing. And then he turns into the star that he has been. But, I mean, the point is that you can't get, you know, you can't get your niblets twisted over some of these prospects. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what I mean? You twisted your niblets, that's for sure.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last.
Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This is Ludicrousville, man. 29, this is never going to happen again in our lifetimes. This is how wacky this has been. 29 straight innings without a run. No Yankee team has ever failed to score a run in four games. So if the Yankees get shut out tonight, the Yankees do something they've never done since 1903. That tells you exactly where we are.
And it's not a record yet because of the two extra innings? Because obviously it's three games plus the two extra innings.
Do that we know is, if it's a Yankee record? I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't say that during the game last night, or not that I noticed.
They didn't. They did say that it's never happened four times, yeah. So hopefully it doesn't happen again. Get your act together, guys. Now, okay, understand there's context here. Before this drought started, and it is an alarming one, and I'll tell you why in a minute, maybe more less obvious than you guys think. But before this, they had the most runs in the American League. So it's not like this is a season-long trend. It's the exact opposite. But 29 straight innings is just unacceptable. There is a complete breakdown in fundamentals. Guys not getting bunts down. Guys not moving runners over. I even thought, and I was off Tuesday. Right. Now, it got lost in some of the other details and malfunctions. I thought Aaron Judge, who, listen, he's the man, but diving for that ball in the ninth inning, that just tells you that team is pressing. It's a tie game. It's a sinking liner. You give up the base hit. You don't risk diving for it, missing it, having it get to the wall, which it did, and having the Angels get a triple out of it.
That's getting hurt.
Well, that too.
God forbid.
That's how he's gotten hurt that way a few times. But that is another example. It's not just hitting. I think there's been a lot of sloppy elements. The base running's been a disaster. Now, to me, which is distressing enough, having no runs in 29 innings, but to me, the biggest issue, again, even though I still think it's better than it has been, but it's not good enough, which is the only point, is look at the extra inning failures. If you can't win in extra innings, that is a direct shout from the top of the mountain that you don't do the little things well enough. Because when it's the extra innings, you're either facing a high leverage setup man or usually a closer, which is what you see in October, by the way, with these elite arms. So I know the Yankees are good, but I would be less than truthful if I didn't say that I thought that they were better than this. I absolutely did.
I thought Monday night was way worse because of, dude, three innings in a row. Stan leads off with a double in the ninth inning. They can't score a run. 10th inning goes for an 11th inning. They couldn't score a run.
I know. Volpe swing at the first pitch. Now, and he taps out to third base. He rolls over an outside slider. Yeah. If you go after the first pitch, I thought I saw something that you said yesterday, like, if you tell him to take a pitch, like it's a little league, you shouldn't have to tell him to take a pitch.
Yeah.
I actually agree with that, but that's a pitch recognition thing. I don't mind you swinging at the first pitch. This is not like, wow, we're overmatched and we're facing some 12-year-old kid who nobody can touch. Let's hope we get a few guys home with a walk.
Yeah, right.
But you got to know what to swing at. There is no way you attack a slider that was 9 inches outside and try to pull it. I was just embarrassing.
But my point was that I think a caller was calling up Rip and Boone, and I was saying, what do you want him to do? That to me is on Volpe. It's not on Boone saying, hey.
I agree with that. That is on Volpe. I agree.
Boone's going to go to Volpe and say, hey, don't swing the bat. This isn't the little leagues here.
Yeah.
It's the major freaking leagues, which was my issue with Volpe, who's just, to me, in year three. Anyway, there's a lot there. I wouldn't get hung up on, while it is, I mean, fun for some, aggravating for others, while it is a talking point, the 29 innings, to me, it's more than that. It's not just 29 scoreless innings, which is mind-boggling.
It really is. It's mind-bending.
Like, yeah, a team like that in that ballpark couldn't score a singular run, including with the extra innings with guys given to you on second base. But also, if you go back a little bit further, even the game that they won in Kansas City, the whole weekend against Boston, you know, and Tol Judge's home run, even the time they scored the three runs in the game on Saturday, I think it was, you know, they scored those runs late. So just the offense overall, it should never get to this point. I know teams go through slumps, but this is more than a slump. This is like, wow, how could they go from hitting a billion home runs and scoring 10 runs, like they bludgeon people, and then at times they can't score any runs? That has been the Yankees' biggest issue dating back years. What they usually have success with in the regular season, pounding people offensively, goes away in the postseason.
Yeah, we've seen it.
Whether it's Judge, anybody else, like that, it just, it continues to be the problem. And I think that it's a flaw with that lineup, the way that it's constructed.
And I'm getting tired of having to do this, but I mean it. This is why when the conversation, you know, this is why I defend Aaron Boone more than some others.
Be careful now.
What?
I was getting calls yesterday. Oh, Boone is your boy. You won't be
teaming. Oh, is that what they were saying?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, fair enough. But at least I know that I've been saying this before we got to know Aaron a little bit. You know what I mean? So there's consistency there. I mean, I don't know what the hell you expect when Trent Grisham's batting leadoff for a month or so. I mean, what's happened now? There's been a reverting back to pretty much who some of these players have been.
Yes.
Now the
even
Yankees,
Goldie.
Goldie's, I like him. Goldie's had a few balls that he's hit very
correct.
Hard.
He's still giving good at bats.
He hit a line drive to right, hit one that I thought, and when he first said, I'm like, is that down the left field line? Is that gone? Maybe the Rays seams kept it in the yard. Maybe we got a problem with the baseballs. Maybe that's why the Yankees can't hit the baseballs, the stupid seams. But the Yankees, to me, there are still two massive fundamental issues with the way they're constructed. And this is not a Boone thing. This is a Brian Cashman thing. Number one, still have no leadoff hitter. Still. The Yankees, I think they haven't had a leadoff hitter basically since Chuck Knobloch. All right? And I know that's not quite true, but you get the point. So they don't have a leadoff hitter. Now you throw Dominguez in, and I like that they try to mix it up a little bit.
Yes.
But it ain't going to be Grisham, and it ain't going to be Dominguez. So you don't have a leadoff hitter when it matters down the road. And you still, for me, you can tell me Stanton, and I like Stanton, you still don't have enough protection right behind Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Still.
I mean, there are issues with that Yankee lineup. Now, just like I expected him yesterday to bounce back and have a big offensive outburst, you would expect that to, like, at some point.
I do expect it, but it's frustrating. But it also illuminates what's, like, this is not a mirage. Like, the Yankees are going to win 94, 95. Right. Yeah, they're going to win the division, I still believe. But this is not, like, wow, what's happening here? The reason this is happening is because the Yankees are not built the way they need to be built.
Look at the Angels lineup. Look at the Yankees lineup.
Yep.
How could the Angels score 4 or 5 runs, whatever it may be? They put the ball in play. They move a guy over. They get a sack fly. Like, it shouldn't be impossible to score a singular run. That's the focus. Not just that they lost 5 in a row.
That
crap happens throughout the course of a long season. It's like, how could you be with this much talent and potential? Because really, a lot of it is potential, especially with the younger guys.
I agree with that.
With that much potential, how do you get blanked at Yankee Stadium? That is impossible to fathom.
Well, one more thing real fast. I don't really do this because it's not my lane, but last night it was so obvious I got to give this 30, not even 30, real fast.
Yeah.
So, okay, one thing to get blanked and get tied up in knots and put up a few zeros and have this prolonged run of no offense, it's disconcerting, but it's still baseball and whatever. Their approach last night was unacceptable. They knew every pitch was going to be 87, 88, 89, and they didn't really make a single adjustment. Like, we talk about Tom Thibodeau, pick and roll, 3-point, transition D, adjustments. We talk about it less in baseball because it's even in football, that's always obvious. Like, stop the run, make the adjustment, we did this. Baseball, the only adjustments really are pitch to pitch in the batter's box. And, you know, and Frazier did, and I like Garrett Cole in the booth last night too. Frazier said, hey, it looks like it's coming in 88. How do you not hit it? Well, there's a lot of movement. I understand that. But the movement's different from being out in front. And I thought too often the Yankees were out in front and they just didn't read the speed. Not the location, which I get, to Frazier's point, the speed. And to me, that just can't happen. The guy's throwing meatballs, dude. Yeah. So keep your hands back. Keep your weight back.
There's a lot of movement on the ball. Yeah, well, that's why they're big leaguers.
If there wasn't, he'd be in double A throwing 88.
Come on. All right.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have?
How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It was a real email. Got it at therico@gmail.com. I just think it fit better our show than even the Rico Bronya. Hey, guys. Love the show. Blah, 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 blah. I went to the Met game the other night. During the late game rally, I noticed that the entire right field area after Juan Soto hit his home run featured a roll call. It started in the top of the fourth inning after Soto's home run. They started cheering his name like the bleacher creatures do. And then he acknowledged it and they roared with cheer. During the late game rally, the fans started doing it again to Soto. It isn't even the first time I've seen it this year either. I assume they're doing it to mock Yankee fans after they turn their backs on Juan. But then once the Mets had the rally and they tied it, then they started doing it to Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz. I get trying to mock Yankee fans, but I think this isn't a great approach because it gives off a little brother energy. And it stopped feeling like they were mocking them as soon as they did the roll call to anyone other than Juan Soto. I was curious if you have noticed this weird interaction and if you think Met fans are ripping off the Yankees by stealing the roll call. So I was at the game, but I didn't see this occurring. Actually, I was not at the game in question. This was the rally game that they had that I missed because I went to the complete game shutout. But I do believe him that Met fans were roll calling for Soto. Initially, guy thinks it was just mocking Yankee fans, but then starts roll calling for Pete and Edwin and believes it kind of spread little brother energy. Tommy, should the Mets cease and desist doing this, or is this okay?
It's not okay. There are things that should be in the Bronx and stay in the Bronx that are the Bronx that makes the Yankees and their fans and the bleacher creatures them, and there are things that can make us unique. I hate doing stuff like that. If you want to do it to mock them and you did it once and you did it for Soto, I'm all for that. I could lead the charge on that. But when you start doing it for Edwin and Pete, it comes off like you're just, you know, a swagger jacker. You're just taking their thing.
So what you're saying is stand by and stand down. That is what Tommy
stand
is saying.
Stand down. This is war times against with Mets and Yankees. We have to stand down in that spot.
Stand down and stand by.
Don't do it.
All right. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, that sounds kind of weak. Now, if they were doing it to make Juan Soto comfortable and it worked, then just do it for Juan Soto.
Yeah, once you expand it to Pete and Edwin, it's kind of soft.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, I've heard this before. Who else does this?
You got to do your own stuff.
You got to know, exactly.
Yeah, you got to do your own stuff. You know, it's like someone saying no biggie. That's Tommy's. You can't take it from Tommy. That's Tommy's thing.
You want to pay me, you can say it all you want.
Of course,
Throw me a buck. I got you owe for the Dodger tickets. My wife.
You got to copyright it first, which costs you your own money.
Damn,
and it's all right.
Lawyer.
Right.
Yeah. But I haven't deja vu or Met fans done this before.
I remember years ago on an opening day doing it. And I know I was certainly not a big fan of it, but I hadn't heard of it anytime recently.
You did it?
I did not. I would never do that. Come on.
Well, just making sure.
I do it.
You said us doing it on an opening day.
Well, I meant Met fans.
Yes.
The only thing I almost did earlier this season, I almost did the wave. And I want to explain why I want to defend myself. I took my youngest son, Spence, to the game.
And he was doing great. Like, it was a fun time. He's eating the ice cream. He's watching the Met game. I miss the Mets over there. We get to the eighth inning. It's getting a little shaky. He's 4 years old. It's getting a little shaky. Hmm. And I'm like, oh, God, am I going to get it to the end of the game?
Wait, not the game. Him.
Him.
Yeah, okay.
And he's 4 years old.
Right.
I'm excited I got to the eighth inning. As the eighth inning is starting, I'm noticing, all right, it's again. And I see the wave. And I'm like, oh, Spence, the wave. Thought it was the coolest thing ever. So now the wave is coming by, and I had to make a choice. If I join in on the wave to get Spencey all excited, I got a good chance to get through this last inning and a half. If I ignore the wave and explain to him why it sucks the way my dad explained it to me, while I'll stay firm on what I believe, there's a chance I lose him. There's a chance I don't get through the game.
Smart.
So I put getting through the game first, and I joined in on the wave to get Spence through the rest of the game.
And did it work?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. He loved it. He thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Right move, then.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you exonerate me, Tommy?
No, wrong move. He's how old again?
Four.
Four. And don't most four-year-olds want to watch, you know, Wicked 600 times or Frozen 8 million times? You show him once, he's going to want to do it every single time. So now that you did the wave once, every time you go, dad, wave, dad, wave, and now you're a waver. You are part of the problem.
So my thought is, it's a fair point. My thought is at some point, if he gets into baseball, there's no guarantee right. he will get into baseball.
This is why he just takes Jet.
I take Spence. I take Jet a little bit more because he's into the game.
Yeah.
Spence likes the experience of the ice cream and the smells and all mm-hmm. that. But I will take him to a few more games just by himself.
Was your wife with you at this game?
This was a solo game. This was just me and the little guy.
There you go.
But I think at some point, if he's into baseball, it'll be easy to explain to him how lame the wave is. But I'm not doing it now at four. Like, and I got to say, my dad probably didn't say it to me when I was four either. Mm.
When did you learn that the wave was lame?
I'm going to guess like 10 or 11. Hmm. Like, I think once I was scoring the game and I understood what was going on, my dad's like, wave, watch the game, you idiots. But I was 10 or 11.
Like, I always felt like it was cool.
Come on, Teague.
I swear. Maybe because I never had to do it. I was always just on the field when things were happening. But I always thought it was cool.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it looked cool.
No, just like coordination. But I also then came to realize that we must be boring them.
Exactly. They could just hit on
that. That was the problem.
The thing that's really cool, and I have to admit I was jealous of. Did anybody actually watch the finals last night? Anybody watch that thing?
No.
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. The coolest thing about the NBA Finals in Oklahoma City specifically, is how they coordinate the T-shirts with the fans.
They do it better than any pro team.
They do it better than any pro team. And what they essentially do is they have a certain color in the seat. Every fan puts it on. And so when you're watching the aerial view, it's beautiful. It's like a beautiful kind of design.
Right.
We will never do that in New York because people, I'm not putting that shirt on.
Right. I spent 2 hours getting ready for this game. My outfit is specific.
Exactly. But it's so beautiful in Oklahoma City to see that kind of coordination. Mm. So that, I think, is cool. A bunch of people going like this. I'm doing the wave right now for the audio. Just standing up and, like, flicking their arms in the air. Like, ooh! It's the wave! Yay!
It's coordinated.
I don't mind looking at the coordination.
Did my belly just show?
I lost track, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Here's the problem. You also can't be wave guy, but then boo the person not doing it. I hate the peer pressure of being in a stadium with a wave.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not getting up, well, come on, get up. Do it, man. I've had that happen to me before. Mind your business. Big time mind your business. Oklahoma City, though, they get together and do it.
They all do it, man. Mm-hmm. And now they're 1-1 away from an NBA championship. Let's go to Mike on Long Island. How are you, Mike?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
What's up?
You covered so much in the time I was on hold. First of all, if you want to read a great book, you guys are into books, Travels with Charlie by John Steinbeck, drove across the entire country with his dog in the car. Second point, somebody has said to me recently, because I walk my dog every day, I love her. He said, if you lock your dog and your wife in the trunk of a car for 5 minutes, who's going to be happy to see you when you open the trunk? Which my wife didn't appreciate, but as a dog lover, I did.
I think I'll save that one. I'll just tell CJ that. I won't tell my wife.
But the real reason I called was I'm not a big fan of all these new rules. I hate the Ghost Runner. But I particularly, for some reason, it was irritating me last night to watch the judge get walked with four fingers up in the air. Why don't pitchers have to throw the four pitches anymore? Who knows if they're going to throw a wild pitch or it throws off their rhythm for the next batter or something.
Yeah.
Why can't they just throw the four pitches?
So when they initially changed this rule, and they changed it, I'm going to guess off the top of my head, 7 or 8 years ago, mm-hmm. I agree with our last caller. I was like, this is ridiculous. I mean, what? You never know what could happen. There could be a wild pitch. There could be so many different weird things. Once they started doing the four-finger walk, I got used to it, and I was like, you know what?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But they were doing it to speed up the game. Now that the game has successfully been sped up, the idea of throwing the four balls is not as bad as it used to be.
Yeah,
because but I just don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen that very often. But you saw what happened in the college softball World Series, right, with the girl who was trying to intentionally walk. There is no four pitches.
Right.
So she was no four fingers. She was trying to just throw balls.
Right.
She let one slip across the plate.
It happens.
And the game-winning hit.
Right.
And so it's dangerous.
You lose,
if you don't do it exactly right.
You lose that potential magic, but if we're being honest, that happens one in a million.
Of course. In baseball, it would never happen because the catcher, like, fully steps out.
Right.
In softball, they kind of just... This catcher just stands up and catches it off the plate.
Now, what you could do, and I remember seeing this in a highlight video in the 1980s, so I don't remember seeing it live, is the pitcher and catcher confuse the hitter into, oh, yeah, it's a touch. And he jumps back in and takes a strike. I think the only thing you lose from it are the boos. Like, when Aaron Judge was intentionally walked twice last night by Ron Washington, one with two outs and nobody on, one obviously in the extra inning situation, you get your quick boo and that's it.
Yeah.
But if you actually have to sit there and watch the catcher put his arm out, and there'd be four balls in a row, the cascade of boos and anger is certainly louder.
Right.
But I have to admit, all the years have gone by without it. I don't miss it.
It has been ugly for the Yankees. I cannot believe that they got shut out. Now, it's one thing getting shut out. You want to give the Angels pitcher credit there, Soriano. He was pretty good early on. This is the Yankees. This is Yankee Stadium. And for like ninth inning on, dude, score a run. Now, that might have even not been enough. Maybe the Yankees cross one across, put one across and tie the game. Then we go into further extras. When you are playing at home and with the new ghost bullcrap runner rules, that should be an automatic dub. It's almost hard, if not impossible, to lose a game at home when you have the benefit of the ghost runner. For the Yankees to lose that game last night, they had to go three innings in a row without getting the leadoff runner who was at second base on, because the double by Stanton in the ninth inning, leadoff runner on there. And so that was one, and obviously the two ghost runners following that up. And they didn't do it. They couldn't score one run in that scenario. Bad enough you don't score once. All right, wow. Boy, that was a wash. Leadoff double can't get anybody in, or ghost runner in the 10th couldn't get anybody in. Man, that stinks. You can't do it three innings in a row? And you don't think there's a problem? It's just an aberration? It's just a one-off? Nope. I'm not going to be fooled. I've seen this too many times from the Yankees before. That's their problem. And really, to me, the focus is on the young guys in that lineup. Like, Jazz is whatever. Look at his numbers with the Marlins. He was never a great hitter. He came up here in his first week after the deadline. He was playing like Babe Ruth, hitting home runs left and right. And then he thinks that he could do that. Yankee Stadium wants to out-homer Judge or whatever it may be with Jazz. And he's just not a good hitter. Even on a night where he's got three hits, you could tell he's just not a good hitter. But whatever with him. It's more the young guys that were supposed to be impactful players. Volpe has been Anthony Volpe has been a bust. I don't know why everybody's afraid to say it was, because he's a local kid. Relative to the expectation, and he's a nice kid, and he's a great defensive player. So I understand that. Relative to the expectation that he had coming up, he has been a massive bust. Massive. Like, it's just acceptable because he's become a serviceable shortstop. Hit him at the bottom of the order. All right, he's going to hit 250. He'll get on base a little bit, steal some bases, play some defense. All right. Well, that's good enough for Anthony Volpe? Not where I'm sitting. And I guarantee you, not from where the Yankees themselves are sitting. No way Brian Cashman is happy with Anthony Volpe where he's at in year 3. There's no way. He'd be lying if he said anything other than that. We had Cashman on last summer, I think it was, and I said to him flat out, dude, I thought this guy was going to be a stud. He said, yeah, me too. Stud is not 240 rolling over balls in a big spot to third base, not having a better feel for the game or for the at-bat. Even if you don't want to take a pitch in that spot, you've got to have a better feel. You got to have a better quality at-bat. Way too inconsistent with that. It's not just him, but overall, Dominguez, Volpe, Wells, throw in a little Bellinger. No, even Stanton. Like I said, Stan's so great. Everybody loves him. But where was he the first half of the season? The guy's missed 70 games. And that's been his MO. And then even when he comes back, can he field? Imagine how great that would be if you could actually use Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield. Nope, been there, done that, didn't work that way. Can he run? Imagine how nice that would be. Okay, well, you know what? You can't field, you can't stay healthy. Well, at least when you're here, maybe we don't have to pinch run for you. So when your turn comes up again, we could actually use the best asset that you have, your bat. Can't even do that because you can't run. BT, it's Al on the Fan. Chief is in Cherry Hill. What's up, Chief?
I'm doing good, Sal. How are you today?
Good, Chief. How are you? What's up?
Wonderful. You know, I'm usually of the school of thought, you know, for years, many people are saying that the Yankees don't know how to hit and situational hitting. And I was always just like, yeah, you know, it'll come around. They'll be fine. But, you know, like you said, yesterday and the past number of games, it's just frustrating. I mean, I know I don't want to compare sports, but it almost feels like the Yankees are the Knicks. You know, Aaron Boone's Tom Thibodeau gets angry when he needs to, and just relying on Jalen Brunson, and for the Yankees just relying on Aaron Judge, and hoping some other players make an impact here and there. And I have no problem with Judge going 1-for-12 against the Red Sox. I mean, ideally, I would love it to be against any other team than the Red Sox, but he's human.
Yeah,
it happens. It's part of the 162-game season.
He's hitting 377. I mean, good guy.
Yeah, it's just frustrating, like you said, like you're saying. The rest of the guys are just sitting there. Okay, if they get a hit, they get a hit. They look so complacent. Like, okay, whatever happens, happens. We lose a game 1-0 in 11 innings. Okay. And for me, it comes down to Aaron Boone. I'm not here to pile on him. But when you have a team that just sits around and so complacent, game after game, I don't care about those fiery ejections. Okay, they look pretty in the moment. He does not, in my opinion, what a manager is supposed to be is a guy who gets his team prepared, focused, ready to play in every situation. And the Yankees, many times they win. They'll hit their home runs. They'll rely on Aaron Judge. They'll get to the postseason like they always do. But there's so many times where they're not prepared. They're not ready for the situation. And it comes down to him, in my opinion.
I don't, and that's your opinion, Chief, and we respect it, and thank you for the call. I don't know if I'd go there. What I will say, and BT and I had this conversation yesterday, where a team that plays sloppy the way the Yankees did in Fenway, mainly on the base paths, and then you saw some of that again last night, it's easy to just say, well, that's a reflection of the manager. However, in this particular spot, now, Boone's got to hold him accountable, and maybe he did behind closed doors. I have no idea if that's the case. I would assume that he did. I mean, you don't see a fiery person like Aaron Boone that all of a sudden he's just whimpers in a dugout or in the locker room to these guys. I don't think Boone is being like, hey, it's all right, we'll get him next time. Now, maybe sometimes that's the right sentiment to have. I guarantee you other times it's like, hey, dude, get your head out of your ass. How are you not in the game? How do you not know how many outs there are? Like, that's Little League stuff. This is the New York Yankees. What are you doing? I hope that there's some of that, and I would expect that there is some of that. But I trust that Boone has the right feel to manage his team in that regard. However, and I'm not blaming him for the situational stuff, but his team has not been great in situational hitting. Now, is that him? Or is that the fact that DJ LeMahieu's washed up? Why is DJ LeMahieu on this roster? Why? And everybody's going to get excited just because he doesn't look totally washed up? Oh, wow, he actually got a hit. Oh, wow, maybe he made a play. So it's like, wow, LeMahieu's back. Yeah, LeMahieu stinks. I'm sorry. Nice guy. He was great. His home run in 2019, one of the bigger home runs that we've seen. Now, the Yankees have a, you know, illustrious history, of course, in the postseason. But that LeMahieu home run, they ended up getting eliminated that night. But that LeMahieu home run in the 2019 postseason in Houston was as big a hit as you could have. LeMahieu was a machine with the Yankees. He's no longer that. He's a liability. And if you can have him on the roster and he's batting ninth, the least he can do is get down a bunt. You're not asking Stan to bunt. You're not asking Judge or the power hitters to bunt. You're asking LeMahieu to bunt. He can't bunt. Holy cow. I mean, that's embarrassing. Yankees should have moved on from LeMahieu and Stan years ago. And then the pushback on Stan is, oh, look at what he's done in the postseason. And I get it. Yeah, he's great in the postseason. But he's part of the problem when you're trying to build a team. Stan back is great. Stan being back but being limited to a DH who can't run is a problem for Aaron Boone to a certain extent. How are you going to get the other guys in the lineup? Is it going to hurt Ben Rice's development? Do you have to pinch run for him with Jason Dominguez and then have Dominguez come up as a right-handed hitter in a key spot later in the game? That happened because Giancarlo Stanton can't run. Can't play the field. Those are issues. Now, again, it's not just, I'm not trying to pick on Stanton or just pick on Volpe. It's a culmination of things. And the Yankees generally, I don't want to say get away with it because that sounds a little harsh, but it's overlooked because the Yankees win more than they lose. So it's not panic city and, oh, man, the Yankees aren't any good. No, it's relative to the expectations that the New York Yankees have. Like it or not, this team should be competing to win a World Series for the first time since 2009. Like, everything else they've done. They've done it all. They make the postseason every year. They've been to ALCSs, plenty of them. They won one a year ago and got back to a World Series. The goal is to build off of that. And I don't think they did. I think they've gotten worse. John is in Huntington. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going, Sal?
Good, John. How are you?
My call. I'm doing well. I agree with, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. In fact, I agree their approach with the plate's terrible. The kids, especially Volpe, need to be better. But I do think it's an organizational and in some aspects a whole baseball thing.
Right.
Nobody in the round this league, yes, seems to be better than the Yankees, but plays the game at the way that used to be played. Small ball, bunting, you know, moving runners along. You know, everything's preached with launch angle and hard hit rate. And the Yankees preach that down in the minors. When these young guys get up here, it's already ingrained in them. But that being said, it is 162 games. And even teams that win the World Series will have week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks where they absolutely look like garbage. At the end of the day, am I confident in the Yankees in the playoffs? Probably not. But they're going to be there, and they're going to have a shot, and Cashman's going to add to this roster.
Agreed.
Like he always does.
I agree with everything you said, John, so we're seeing it the same way, and thank you for the call. Just because I'm getting on them today doesn't mean that I don't think they're going to be a playoff team or in a weak American League have a chance to get to the World Series, but I hold them to a higher standard, and I don't believe they're as good as they were a year ago. Also, it'd be one thing if they lost last night 5-4 or 3-2. Like, that's, hey, you know what? It happens. It's unfortunate. You lost four games in a row. But would I be going nuts? But when you don't score a run, a singular run, at home at Yankee Stadium, no less, and you have three straight innings, 9th, 10th, and 11th, with the guy on second base, ghost runner or not, whatever it may be, and nobody out, that to me is just, like, that's unacceptable. The loss is acceptable. Guys going 0 for 5. Guys striking out with guys on, guys rolling over ball, that's acceptable. Not scratching off across one run, three straight innings, with a guy in second and nobody out, that's unacceptable. Bad on the base paths, unacceptable.
Lakers being sold in what was a surprise, as the Buss family is now selling their majority stake in the Lakers to Mark Walter, who's the head of the investment group that also owns the Dodgers, and the number is staggering. It is $10 billion.
And it does not include Crypto.com Center. That's the old Staples Center.
Right.
That is now Crypto.com Center. It doesn't include that. It only includes a majority stake in the Dodgers. The Lakers, which is mind-blowing to me. You know, when the Celtics were sold for $6.1 billion, it did not include the Garden up there, or TD, whatever they call it, TD Bank Garden. It didn't include that. So now, let's just say for a second, Jim Dolan sees this, and let's say Jim Dolan wants to sell. Remember, he sold Cablevision at its highest point.
Mm-hmm.
I think he sold it for close to $1 billion, maybe $800 million. I mean, this would be the time to do it, especially because not only does he have the Knicks, the Rangers, but he also controls and owns MSG. Now, MSG and the state of New York and, of course, the city of New York City are trying to figure out a way to build a new Pennsylvania train station. And Donald Trump's all aboard on that. And he wants to be a part of that. And that would mean that they would have to move Madison Square Garden. And there's just a lot of angst and stress around, you know, the tax abatements that are associated with the Garden, Where would they move the guard? I'm like, there's all these different plans out there. And I would just think that if you're Jim Dolan and you're sitting there and you're looking at this and you're saying to yourself, man, the Celtics won for 6.1. The Lakers just won for 10 without the buildings. How much are the Rangers and the Knicks and the building? And he also, of course, owns and runs a Radio City Music Hall. And I know he's building, I think, another sphere either in Abu Dhabi or somewhere, United Arab Emirates, I'm not sure. But, I mean, I can't imagine how much this would go for.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you start at double that number for the Dodgers. You start there and then probably go up from there if you're talking about multiple buildings and Radio City Music Hall
and
included.
The network.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot going on there. I don't see Jim Dolan selling. I think Jim Dolan loves being the owner. He hates when people say sell the team. He is a prideful guy. I know that money drives every decision. I just think that he sees this. He's interested, but I really don't see him selling. Now, I thought more of the Steinbrenner family when I saw this yesterday, more than Jim Dolan, because I feel like Jim Dolan's going to hold on to that thing like his baby for the rest of his life, and he's allowed to do that. But the Steinbrenner family, you know, is not like a guy like Mark Walter. You know, they're a wealthy family. There's no doubt about it. But there are people out there like Steve Cohen, like Mark Walter, who could come in and buy the Yankees from the Steinbrenners at this point in their life, and they could cash out in a massive, massive way. Now, how much would that franchise be worth? And that would have to include the building as well. I mean, are we talking 10 to 15?
I mean, just a real estate alone, man. I'm just telling you, the whole want to redo Penn Station and to create it as a transportation hub that is like second to none in the world. There's a lot of that driving, I think, you know, the move of Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Sure, but
I remember Jim Dolan put $2 billion back into the garden himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's got to be tempting for sure, especially with a couple of franchises. You know, and I wonder how much the Yankees ownership and the Steinbrenners look at this and say, maybe this is the time. Maybe, you know, they don't love going over the luxury tax. You know, Hal is not someone who likes to be in the spotlight like his dad was.
Oh, God,
we're talking about a selling at the highest point situation.
Cuban got out. Snyder got out. Now Jeannie Buss is getting out. I know Snyder was kind of forced out, but still, he got out.
Yeah.
And they sold for $6.5 billion, and they have a crappy stadium situation.
We're missing one, aren't we? There's another one, I felt like.
The Celtics.
Yeah. Yes.
Celtics got out. The Lakers got out. The Mavericks, he divested, and so did Dan Snyder. Yeah. I'm sure that and now the Tampa Bay Rays are for sale.
Mm. Yeah, Broncos was another one.
Broncos is another one. The Walton family bought them.
Right.
Now, I'm assuming that. I don't know who owns that stadium. I don't know if that's privately held or if it's some sort of publicly partnership with the ownership there. I'm not sure, but all I know is that the Knicks, Rangers, and the Garden.
Yeah,
I don't know what that number would be. I really don't. And that's, he's one of the most powerful owners in all of sports.
Yeah, and I know that he loves being that. I mean, as you see him leaving the Garden during the Knicks playoff run and sending the basketballs out the window of the SUVs to kids. I mean, he loves every bit of it. So, you know, he may be able to sell at his highest point, but also, I mean, maybe this isn't the highest point. You know, maybe it just continues to grow and grow and grow. It hasn't seemed to stop.
Just as I don't know, the numbers, obviously, this group that has decided to spend this much money on that team obviously has a business plan to make sure that they recoup their interest and their investment. But, man, I just, it's shocking, you know, when you see that number.
Yeah, and we were just talking. It's funny because this came out of nowhere, this sale. But we were just talking yesterday about deferments in NBA contracts and if you were able to do that or not. And now that was a big topic yesterday because after this sale, because obviously the Dodgers have done more deferments than anybody. And it was like, oh, I wonder if the next Lakers signees are going to be having to defer money. But I actually don't know the cap rules with the NBA
if they can, how much money
I would think that there will be. And by the way, they're going to have to give Luka a new contract.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at this point, 100%.
And this whole thing is going to be built around him.
Yeah, that's why they traded for him, no doubt. So, yeah, if I'm Mark Walter, it's one of the first calls I'm making. It's, all right, Luka, what are we doing, man? Put down that Bush Light apple and let's get going.
Yes. Been down a little bit. Sooner or later, it will turn for both teams, but I would be concerned for the Yankees. I don't think they've scored a run in 29 innings or something.
Yeah, it's been that bad.
That I mean, when was the last time you could say that?
I guess when they make it to the playoffs, when they don't hit at all.
I mean, it's amazing to me that this team has not scored a run. Think about this. In three games.
Well, and this is what happens when if Aaron Judge isn't hitting, no one else is picking him up. And that's really the big thing. Because Aaron Judge, you think about it, he is having a remarkable historic season. He's hit into a slump. Now he's in a slump. And no one's picking him up.
It's amazing to me. I mean, obviously everybody's aware of it. The entire team is aware of it. And they're all frustrated. And I know what they're waiting for. It's like, you know, waiting for your basketball team to start hitting threes, your hockey team to finally start scoring goals, and your players and your baseball team to start finally getting some hits. I mean, and, you know, what was great about the Yankees when the season started is how competitive they were. And that was because, in large part, that they were being led by Aaron Judge. And it really is, it is alarming to see that this has taken place over the last 29 innings.
Well, I mean, it's also alarming because even though Aaron Judge is putting together these Babe Ruth-type seasons, and that's what this one was turning out to be, that he doesn't hit in the postseason. So this is what happens in the postseason when he doesn't hit.
Better now than the postseason.
Right, but the problem is this is a foreshadowing situation. So, I mean, he better be, once they get there, and they're going to get there, and the American League isn't great, and all these things that we talk about, but it just, this was the difference between last year's Yankee team and this year's Yankee team, and I'm not trying to make it all about Juan Soto, but, I mean, it really, that, when they lost Soto, this is something that people thought about. It's like, all right, where is the offense going to come from consistently?
Right, but I have to say, like, listen, Max Fried was an unbelievable, you know, plan B, and he has delivered pretty much every time. So,
we're talking about their offense.
I mean,
right now.
It really comes down to Goldschmidt and Bellinger. I mean, that's, and Dominguez. I mean, those are the three guys that are supposed to be picking up Juan Soto numbers combined, at least.
Yeah.
I would imagine Yankee fans are really frustrated, and I understand why. But again, we're in June. I want to see where, you know, if either one of these teams fall out of first place, I mean, the Mets could have picked up a game on the Phillies last night. If either one of these teams fall out of first place, then it's time to really start wondering about what's going to happen. And, you know, it's interesting. I heard Al and Jerry talking about Rafael Devers leaving Boston. I mean, maybe Brian Cashman's going to have to do something like that. Maybe he's going to have to find some disgruntled player on some team that is available somehow and add a spark to this offense. I mean, that was supposed to be Jazz Chisholm. And, you know, like, remember when they got him from Miami, and that former Miami president of baseball operations?
Yeah, David Sampson.
Yeah, came out and just trashed him.
Yeah, yep.
And, look, I think he's been a really good fit for the Yankees. He's another one that is just woefully inconsistent.
Right, exactly. That is the perfect word to describe him. And, yeah, I mean, I think falling out of first place, yes, that could be alarming. But really, it's about how you're losing these games and what your team is. And to go scoreless for this long should never happen to the New York Yankees. I mean, they, in the beginning of this season, were better offensively in April than they were last year. And by a significant margin. So, I mean, yeah, you watch a Mets loss and they're sloppy and they're blowing the game and David Peterson's cruising until he's not. And it's really frustrating down in Atlanta. But to go, you know, several games where you're not scoring a run is something that I think you got to like. That's a smelling salt. I'm sorry. That is a smelling salt. And by the way, as far as picking somebody up at the trade deadline, whatever it may be, and Brian Cashman finding that guy, it's also, let's not forget that the Yankees are very, very money conscious at this point when it comes to the luxury tax, because
Everybody was talking about you got to upgrade third base, you got to upgrade third base, and they didn't go out and get Nolan Arenado in the before the season, which they could have.
Doesn't mean that it still is an impossibility.
Well, hold on, but the reason they didn't do it was because they would have gone up in the luxury tax threshold. Now, when you bring in a, this is a thing for them. So they have to, if they can get a guy whose salary, I guess, halfway through the season now keeps them under that threshold, then fine.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, but they're not going to, those guys don't really, you know, grow on trees either.
No, they don't. And I'm sure that internally, I would think that, you know, they're taking this in stride. And taking it in stride is not a great thing from a fan's perspective, but we always want to preach patience. We don't want to overreact to things. But 29 innings without a run is really, that is, that's like shocking to me.
Well, it's also, you know, the preaching patience thing and all of that is what the Yankee fan is fired up about, because they feel like in situations like this, their manager doesn't do enough to get them going. I mean, that's the stuff that starts coming out. But no, I'm not saying that I agree with that. But when you say, like, the Aaron Boone mentality is that, is to preach the patience, we'll be fine, we're going through it, this and that. But the fan is going, no, this is completely unacceptable. You're the New York Yankees. You're losing at home in front of your fans in misty, foggy weather. It's one of the most boring baseball games we've ever seen in our lives. And we got a manager in there who's comatose. That's what they say. But it's not going to change. As long as Aaron Boone's there, he's going to be completely level. And that's what Brian Cashman loves, is the fact that there's not too many highs and not too many lows and all of those things. But right now, it's a low.
They got five losses in a row. They got two more versus the Angels, three versus the Orioles, and then they go out to Cincinnati, and they got the Athletics at home. I mean, you know, they should get on track here.
Well, I mean, that's what we said when they started the Angels series, and they haven't scored a run. They're going back home to play the Angels. Okay, well, two losses down and no runs scored, so... You know, they'd be looking at the schedule right now. I don't think really matters. It's how they are actually, you know, they got to start hitting the baseball regardless of who they're playing.
I know that Yes Network actually broadcast batting practice. How do you think that's going?
I think better than the games, probably.
You think?
Better than the games.
I mean, I did ask Fleegs this morning. I said, do you think the Yankees take batting practice? Just messing around.
Yeah.
Of course, he's a Mets fan. And I said, well, you know, I don't know what it is about the Braves, man. We go down there, we forget how to play baseball, or we bring out the best in them. I don't know what it is. It's the worst of us and the best of them, or the worst of them is even, it's even worse than when we're, like, as bad as we were last night.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.